Turn, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1. Continuing our look at 2 Timothy, we know this was written to a young pastor, Timothy, who was a pastor of the church at Ephesus. This is the Apostle Paul writing his advice, direction, instruction to a young pastor. And books of 1 and 2 Timothy are special to me because I take it personally. Right? But I want you to understand, and I've told you this before, this is not just for preachers. All right? There are things that all of us can use coming out of the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. Tonight we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Let's stand as we read from the Word of God. Verse 1 says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And we'll stop right there. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for your word. And now I pray that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Take your word and apply it, Lord, to our lives, that we may be made better servants for you. Move among us freely, Lord. Have your will in every life that's present here tonight, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as I said, this is Paul's instruction to young Timothy, the pastor at the church of Ephesus, and he opens with a word that if we're not real careful, we'll just blast right past it and never think twice about it. He says in the opening there of chapter 4, I charge you therefore before God. I charge you therefore before God. That word charge, it means to exhort someone concerning something of grave importance. It's like I would stand here and tell you, I'm going to tell you something and it is of the utmost importance. That's what Paul is saying. Timothy, this is too important for you to let this slide. And lives, Timothy, lives are depending upon how you follow the instructions that I'm about to give you. Amen. It was so important that Paul emphasized its importance when he said that therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing. Timothy, you're accountable. Okay? You're going to be held accountable for what I'm about to give you. And not only are you accountable, but if you don't do it, there are a lot of people that are going to face the judgment of God because you didn't do what you were called to do. Okay? That's Paul's way of saying, buddy, this is important. Lives are depending on you. The eternity of people are depending upon you. And what is so important, we find there in verse 2. Paul says, preach the word. Preach the word. Make known. And actually, I like that part. That word preach, you think of a preacher up, you know, like this in this setting. But it's actually a little deeper than that. That word preach, it means to make known something that's important and make it known publicly and make it known loudly. Amen. You didn't know loud preachers were scriptural, did you? That's the idea. Paul's saying, make it known, let it be heard. Don't let anybody get by without you loudly and publicly declaring the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Timothy was in a blessed position. He was blessed because he had heard the Word, he understood the Word of God, and he had been taught the Word of God from his youth up. As a matter of fact, in chapter 5 of this same book, Paul said, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Paul said, Timothy, You are blessed more so than most people. You have had this. You have heard this ever since you were a little boy. And as I thought about that, I thought, wow. How many of you are like me? You were raised in church. I was. There is no telling the number of sermons I have sat through in my lifetime. There's no telling the number of sermons that I preached in my lifetime. I was brought up. I had a good Sunday school teacher. I listened to sermons. I was saved at an early age, and I surrendered to the ministry, and I went to the seminary, and I've been preaching now for almost 30 years, you know, or been pastoring churches for close to 30 years. But you know what? All of that is just a blessing. Amen. It's a blessing that comes with responsibility. Because as we look out in the world, you know, there are a lot of people that were not raised like I was raised. I mean, I've been in church so long, I know when to stand up and when to sit down. I know when the offering's taken. I know when the music director gets up, what he's doing. I know pretty much everything about the way we do things in the Baptist church. I'm not bragging. You know, that's not bragging. Many of you are like me. You've been there and done that for so many years. You know what's coming next. But do you realize the responsibility that goes with the heritage that you have? Okay? And that's what Paul's saying, Timothy. Buddy, you've had it ever since you can remember. Now you have a responsibility, Timothy. You preach that word. Timothy, there is no such thing as a part-time pastor. Did you know that? Amen. There is no such thing as a part-time pastor. It's full time. And you say, well, you know, some churches don't pay living wages. That has nothing to do with it, okay? By full time, I'm talking about preachers are preachers 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, period. But you know what else? There are no part-time church members either. Amen. Okay? It is all of our job to live it 7 days a week. And not just live it, but proclaim it. Tell people the reason you live the way you do. Oh, it's so easy. You know, coming to church is the easy part. Sharing it sometimes is the hard part, which brings us to Paul's next instruction. After he said, preach the word, he said, be ready in season and out of season. Now this is an old preacher favorite. And the way they used to do it, and I don't do this anymore but the way they used to do it is if you surrendered to preach on Sunday morning, guess when your first message was? Sunday night. I don't know how many times I've seen young men get called, and I was teasing with Wade before services. I said, Wade, you want to preach tonight? Be instant in season and out of season. He said, sure. I said, I'm kidding. I said, I'm preaching that tonight, you know. But the point there is, it's not just about preachers. That word where he says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, it literally means be available and accessible at any time. Now, let's take it beyond preachers, okay? Beyond just saying, you preach tonight, or you're going to preach, you know, be ready to preach at any time. Let's take it beyond that. That literally means to be on standby. You know what standby is, right? That's at a moment's notice. You are prepared to step up and serve. Literally, that's what Paul was saying here. Now, that, as I said, a lot of this applies more than just to preachers. Should we not all be ready to serve? Amen. Yeah, we all have different ministries. To some, it is preaching, but to others, it may be teaching a Sunday school class, and to others, it may be simply sharing the gospel. Because I'll tell you what, you never know what's around the next corner. Okay, this carries the idea again of being ready at a moment's notice to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you ready to do that? It says, in season and out of season. Literally, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Timothy, you be ready to step up even when it's not convenient. When the time is right, when the time is not right. There are times, I mean, let's face it, there are times when it's not convenient to serve, right? There are times when it's not convenient to witness. Have you ever, you felt, well, I need to talk to that individual about Jesus, but it's just really, just really not the right time? Why wasn't it the right time? Because it wasn't convenient. Well, my friends, I'll admit, there are times when you cannot get to an individual. I admit that. But there are also times when we use excuses, well, it's just not convenient for me right now. You know? Be ready. Be on standby. Looking for every opportunity that God puts in your place. That's the idea. That's what Paul's trying to get across to Timothy. You be ready to go, buddy, at any time. And here's the challenge that Paul gives Timothy. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Convince. Show or prove when someone or something is wrong. Take a stand, what Paul's saying. Expose the sin of the world. To rebuke means to warn forcibly. Have you ever told somebody, well, I don't know, you might be wrong. That's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul's saying, Timothy, identify the sin and then warn them of the consequences of that sin. And exhort. Encourage a response. You know, there's something... The older I get in the ministry, the more I realize how important it is to encourage a response. Whether it's in service, whether it's in a service like this, because you don't know what God's doing in the hearts of someone else. Amen. And to just say, well, you need to be saved or to present the plan of salvation and then never ask the question, would you like to act on that right here and right now? Oh, you haven't done them justice. Put them in that position to respond. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. But all of these words are pretty strong. Convince, rebuke, exhort. And the idea there, Paul is trying to instill a passion in young Timothy. Earlier he had warned Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that is within you. He's trying to get Timothy to have that fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's needed so much in churches today. A passion. And I realize passion starts with the pulpit. Not only do I have a responsibility to share the truth with you, I have the responsibility to share the truth with conviction.
Amen.
And passion. Because it's not a story. It's not a nice little thing to share. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should be passionate. Not just pastors, but from the pulpit to the pews, we should all be passionate about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you? Are you passionate? Are you ready to share? And it's not nearly as hard as we make it out to be. When people ask you, how you doing? You share, I'm doing great. Because I'm saved.
Amen.
How are you doing? Oh, God has been so good to me. Let people know what God has done in your life daily. We may just be amazed at the doors that opens. But not only is it just passionate to share, it's passionate about the whole Word of God. Everything in here. This entire book is the Word of God. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I do too, with all my heart. I believe everything in here is right. I believe there's no error in this book. I believe that God gave us this book because it is a perfect fit for His children.
Amen.
And that's the way we've got to approach it. And as a pastor, I'll tell you, sometimes it's hard to preach everything in this book. It's hard to preach the hard messages. Quite honestly, there are a lot of messages that I don't enjoy because I know it will hit people where they live. You see, as a pastor, you know things, you know? Sometimes you know more than you want to know. And sometimes you know this message that I'm preaching is going to hit old so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, or brother so-and-so. And I tell you, that's hard to do. But Paul's telling Timothy, you be passionate. You preach it, brother. And see, for me, at this point in ministry, I have no other option. There's not a decision for me to make. Will I preach it? Will I not? I don't have to decide. If it's the Word of God, preach it. If it's not, don't. You know? That's the decision-making process. I truly believe the reason there are so many lukewarm Christians in the world today, and we are living in a world that is lukewarm, a lot of it is the fault of we pastors. Because there's not the fire that was behind the pulpit back years ago. I remember, do you remember those days? Where the preacher was excited and he didn't care to let you know that he was excited. Where he'd lift his voice. I remember the days where people said amen and they said it where everybody throughout the whole congregation to hear. Yeah, I remember those days. Where did they go? Well, we've allowed ourselves to lose that passion. Oh, my friends, God is as good today as He's ever been. He can do today what He's always been able to do. God has not changed. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You see, it's God's people that change. It's God's pastors that change. Sometimes our change is not for the better. We can't afford to lose a passion. I think I've shared this with you before, but I'm going to share it with you again tonight. I always go back to the thought of when I was in college. I sold Kirby vacuum cleaners. And I never knocked on a door and said, they'd come to the door and I said, I never said, you don't want to buy a vacuum cleaner, do you? I never said that. Oh, listen, I presented the world's greatest vacuum. And I had to make them believe that I believed that it was the world's greatest vacuum. Well, I'm going to tell you something, okay? As a child of God, I have the greatest news in the universe, and that is Jesus Christ. Never let us present Him half-heartedly or lukewarmly, but let us have a passion, because Jesus has always had a passion about mankind. We go on. He said, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. See, here's the hard part. That literally, I'm giving you a lot of definitions tonight, but that word long-suffering literally means endurance of pain or unhappiness. I'm going to say it again. Long-suffering is the endurance of pain or unhappiness. Did you know there are times in the ministry when you're not happy? Have you ever been there?
Amen.
There are times in the ministry it's not easy. There are decisions that you make that are hard decisions to make. But Paul is saying, Timothy, you endure it. You keep on keeping on. And when you're unhappy, that's irrelevant. You keep on preaching. When it's hard and it's hurting, that's irrelevant. You keep on preaching and teaching. Timothy, don't you dare stop. See, there are times in ministry, whether you're a pastor or whether you're just serving as a church member or a teacher, there are times in ministry when you do get unhappy. When you look around and you think, man, I'm not doing any good. Have you ever thought that while you're serving? I'm not getting anywhere. Nobody's listening to me and nobody's responding. And boy, before you know it, we're throwing this big old pity party. Have you ever thought, I'm the only one? If I quit, nobody else is ever going to do anything, you know? And then God shows you something. It's at those times that God shows me that person that was saved a few years ago and has steadily matured and grown. And you see that child, that life that has been transformed. And you think, okay, Lord, it was worth it.
Amen.
You look and you look around at the children. The children and those of you who teach children, and you think, they're not listening. I want to tell you something. They're going home and they're telling their mom and daddy what they learned in your class. They're excited to learn about Zacchaeus. Lila shared with us what she learned this morning. And, they're excited to learn about Moses and David. And so we've got to all be reminded, not just pastors, but all as servants of God. Hey, we go through rough patches. We go through patches where it's hard to continue on. But do not focus on what's wrong. You focus on what God is doing so you can see His blessings. So you won't want to quit. So you won't want to stop. And you'd think at this point, he's got Timothy, you know, all encouraged up. And this is the time that Paul's going to kick that 50-yard field goal and just knock it through. And Timothy, but boy, it's going to be good, buddy, let me tell you. But that's not what Paul said. Look at verse 3. He said, Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Timothy, the time is coming. The time is coming, Timothy, when they will not permit you to instruct them anymore. See, that word endure in the Greek, it literally means permit the presence of or to not allow something. He's saying, Timothy, there's coming a day when preaching like you're preaching will not be allowed. You better do it today while you can. I'm reminded of where we are in society. Sometimes I become overly concerned and I think, boy, you know, how much longer am I going to be able to preach? And you know what? It really doesn't matter.
Amen.
It really doesn't. What matters is that I preach today because God has given me today to do it.
Amen.
Take advantage of that opportunity while I have it. But it's not just me. It's all of us. Take advantage of the opportunities that you have today. You know, don't worry about the, you know, so many I've heard so often I heard people say, well, when I retire, I'm going to, well, don't. You know, when you get there, then do it. But you make sure that you're taking advantage of what God, the opportunities that God has laid before you today.
Amen.
Because today, in reality, is all that anyone has. He said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That word sound is interesting also. It means to be healthy. It means to, literally, he's saying, Timothy, there's coming a day when they will no longer allow you to preach healthy spiritual teaching. And you think, surely not. Beloved, we're quickly approaching that day. When you call sin, sin, the world will rebel. When you say that it's not acceptable before God for two women to marry or two men to marry, you're a bigot. You know, when you take a stand against an ungodly lifestyle, you're rejected. And the world will do everything they can do to shut you up.
Amen.
Listen, take advantage of the opportunities that we have today. Because they are quickly, the world is quickly heaping up teachers who will tell them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. Then he closes, verse 5. But you, Timothy, you, buddy, you be watchful. Watchful in all things. That word watchful, in the New American Standard, it's sober. You be sober, clear-headed. Timothy. You look at everything with a clear head. And you endure afflictions. Continue on even when it's hard. Timothy, you do the work of an evangelist. You know what an evangelist is, right? One who shares the gospel or preaches the good news. Timothy, you, and this last line, Timothy, you fulfill your ministry. Isn't that the requirement of all of us?
Amen.
Fulfill your ministry. And sometimes I don't think that people really realize that God has you here for a purpose. You have a ministry. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes you feel like everything and everyone's against you. And sometimes, boy, God just opens the windows of heaven and pours out His blessings upon you. But one thing's for certain. You have a purpose. Fulfill that God-given purpose. Because I truly believe that there is no greater privilege than serving the Creator of this universe.
Amen.
And the ministry He's called you to. Be faithful. Fulfill your ministry. You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share with you the love of God that took His Son to the cross of Calvary to take your punishment so that you could have eternal life. You've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the good news is Jesus took your sin to that cross of Calvary where He suffered, bled, and died and paid the punishment for your sin. And now He invites you to come. That whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that beautiful? Whoever believes in Him, there's no qualifying statement that if you're good enough or if you're from the right family or if you're from the right race. It's whoever believes in Him. That's for all of us. Okay? Are you a child of the King? If not, God's invitation goes out to you tonight. It says, come. Come unto Me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for these reminders that sometimes as children of God it gets tough. Sometimes we get we're disappointed. Sometimes conditions are harsh and hard to deal with. But Lord, that's okay. It is truly an honor and a privilege to fulfill our ministries. And so Lord, help us to take advantage and to make the most of every day that You have given. Help us to honor You by our lives. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to You in every aspect of ministry. Help us, Lord, to share Your glorious gospel to all who will listen. Lord, we pray now in this invitation that Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.